Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be here with you. I haven't just come in off the street, incidentally, just to say that my name is Julian Marsh. I used to be director of Muller's and have been a church leader in Bristol for a number of years. But now my wife and I are involved with a ministry across the UK in helping to train and mentor and to encourage disciple makers and church planters around the UK. So it's our passion, and that's what we love doing. And we've been asked to just share something with you tonight. So it's always a challenge, really, every Christmas time for something fresh and something new. You know, I felt that God was saying to me as I was thinking about tonight that just reminded me of a young, ordinary girl living in an ordinary small town near a lake, engaged to be married to a man who came from the same town. She was looking forward to her wedding in the future. And presumably she was looking forward to a life of ordinariness, normality, perhaps even insignificance. But you know, to this girl, an absolutely amazing, extraordinary thing happened to her. An angel came to her, visited her, and he said, "Hi, greetings to you. You are beautiful. You're beautiful both inside and outside with the beauty that God has given you. I want you to know that God's grace and his favor rest upon you. God be with you." Well, you can imagine what on earth that just ordinary young girl must have thought just to be faced with an angel coming to her. Was it a dream? Have I lapsed into a dream? Why has he come to me to share these things and to say those things about me? And the angel saw that she was shaken and afraid, and he said, "Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear, but I have a surprise for you, because you're going to become pregnant. You will have a son. And he will have a special name. And furthermore, he will be great. And he will be called Son of the Most High. And people will be expecting him. He will come from the line of King David. He will be a king. And he will bring a kingdom that will never come to an end." And she said, "Wow!" Or something like that. I'm not quite sure that my Bible uses that word. "How could I possibly be pregnant? I've never slept with a man." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will hover over you. The Holy Spirit will bring God's power over you. And in an amazing and miraculous way, your baby son will both be a man, but also be the Son of God, fully human and fully God." I suppose in today's language we would use DNA, wouldn't we? We would say that the mother's DNA and the spiritual father's spiritual DNA. And the angel went on to say that if you need any evidence at all that what I'm saying is true, then I want you to know that your cousin, who is far beyond life-bearing age, who's long for a child, she is with child. She's 6 months pregnant. Because you see, nothing is impossible for God. And I just wonder what was going through Mary's mind, because I'm talking about Mary, at that moment. If you were her, what would you be thinking? What would people say? After all, the penalty for adultery was stoning in her day. What will my fiancé say? All my future plans are in tatters. Is this real? Am I in the middle of a dream, or is this some kind of joke? How can this be remotely possible? But you know, this young girl said, okay, I understand. I am the Lord's servant. I'm ready to serve him. Whatever he wants me to do, I will do. Let it happen to me, just as you say. What an amazing response, isn't it? Of course, I'm talking about Mary, Joseph, the angel is Gabriel, and the town is Nazareth. We were there 5 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago yesterday, walking the streets of Nazareth. It was amazing. Well, everywhere in the Holy Land was amazing. But there was one particular place that I will remember more than any other place in Nazareth. And that is the place where it is reputed that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. We call it the Annunciation. There's now an incredibly big and impressive cathedral-type church on top of the site. But you can actually go to the place where tradition says that was where it was. And there's an altar on it. And on the altar is four words. It's in Latin. I won't bore you with the Latin. But the words were, the Word became flesh. And I looked at the altar and I thought, well, that's interesting, because actually there are five words there. I looked again, and what I'd missed was that it actually used the four words that Elvin read to us. The Word became flesh. But actually, it was the Word became flesh here. Here. And you know, at that moment, shivers went up and down my spine, and I thought, wow, it's here. It was here. Now, it may have been there, it may have been over the road, it may have been round the corner. I'm not too worried. But I was standing at a place where 2,000 years before the angel had come to Mary, and the Word became flesh here, there. Do you know, I've reflected on that ever since we've been there in Nazareth. And I've reflected, for example, on what would have happened had Mary said no. What would have happened if Mary said, no, I'm not willing, actually. I just want my anonymity, and I just want ordinariness. I don't want to do this. What would have been the consequences? I'm sure God would have fulfilled his purpose in other ways. But actually, the reality is we don't know. But what we do know was that because she said yes, we know what it is to be saved from our sins. We know what it is to read the New Testament. We know what it is to be one of the Lord's people. We know what it is to know grace and mercy. We know what it is to read Paul, who wouldn't have been converted had it not been for Jesus' life and ministry. We would have not known the cross or the resurrection or the kingdom of God. And yet this young girl said, let it happen to me, just as you said it would. And that then just opened the way in an amazing way for God's plan to be implemented. Somebody said that the turning point of history hangs on the hinge of a stable door in Bethlehem. No hinge, no stable door, if she'd said no. But the whole of history has been transformed as a result of that. And all those promises in the Old Testament, all those prophetic words, some of which we've read tonight, and many others as well, came to fulfillment there at that point. The Word became flesh here at this particular point. See, in the Gospel of Luke, Gabriel said to Mary, you shall have a son through the Holy Spirit, and you shall name him Jesus, which means Savior. And in the Gospel of Matthew, the angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't hesitate to take care of Mary, for her child is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you must call him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." And Mary and Joseph obeyed and fulfilled God's purposes. Two ordinary people who were willing to say yes to God's plans and God's purposes. Two ordinary people willing to play their part in bringing God's plans to fulfillment. But you see, Mary and Joseph's life would never be the same again. In fact, we know that Mary would have had heartache in her soul, because the prophecy of Simeon, that when Jesus was 6 weeks old, said, you know, a sword will pierce your soul. And we stood on the Via Dolorosa again 5.5 weeks ago, at the very point when it said that that was where Jesus, carrying the cross to Calvary, locked eyes with his mother and saw tears in her face. Just as God had plans and purposes which were fulfilled through Mary and Joseph's obedience and willingness to say yes, God has plans and purposes for us too. He's looking for our willingness to cooperate with him also. We may not fully understand his plans. We might never fully understand his plans, but we need to be people like Mary and Joseph who are available, obedient, faithful, and willing to say yes. Probably the greatest challenge that Jesus ever made to his disciples was in these words: follow me, follow me. Leave behind what you've been doing. Let's share our lives together. Come with me, be with me, hang out with me, become my disciples. And of course, the follow me was for a purpose. "And I will make you fishers of men," said Jesus, "so that others might become my disciples too." See, Jesus was and still is looking for people to follow him. People who are willing to take a risk. People will step out without looking back. People who will lay aside their old and former plans. People who are willing to turn their backs on their previous priorities and become a disciple of Jesus today, becoming like him in character and in deed. And of course, as we follow him, so seeing others following him as well. You see, Jesus is looking for people to say yes. Jesus is looking for people to follow him. You know, this period of waiting, we call it Advent, don't we? Until Christmas comes, is a great, great time to reflect on what God is saying to us, sensing and knowing what God has for us in the days ahead. It's a great time to also say, "Yes, I am willing," even though it's going to take me out of my comfort zone, even though it's totally and completely unexpected. "God, yes, I'll say yes to you. I want to see your plans and purposes flowing in my life." You know, and if there's anyone here tonight who hasn't said yes to Jesus, or perhaps people who are on the fence, then it's a great, great time to say yes. "I will follow him this Christmas time." I don't know what God has got in store for you. I don't know what he's got in store for me in the days and months and years ahead. I don't know what opportunities there'll be. I don't know what challenges there will be opening up before me in the future. Who knows what God wants to do with any of us here? But what he's looking for is a willing yes. Life will never be the same again as we say yes to God. Don't forget that God comes to ordinary people like us, like Mary, like Joseph. God equips and enables ordinary people like you and me. God invites ordinary people like you and me to follow him. Because you see, the amazing thing is, extraordinary things happen when ordinary people say yes to an extraordinary God. And that's the key to Mary and Joseph, and that's the key that unlocks potential, opportunity, exciting prospects for each one of us. The ability for us to say, I'm just an ordinary person, but Lord, use me. Speak to me, show me. I want to say yes to you. Let's pray. I want to thank you for that amazing yes that Mary uttered, Lord God, in front of the angel. Let it be to me as you have said. Lord, whatever it is you may be speaking to us about at this time, I want to pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just give us the courage to take a risk and say yes. Help us, Lord God, I pray. Help us to be yes people in the right sense. Help us to be people, Lord, who are longing to see you active and working, not just in our lives, but through our lives, into the lives of others. Thank you that you take ordinary people and do extraordinary things with them, because you are an extraordinary God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.